interrupted by an army liaison that is a liaison between the army and the high school. And she said, well, don't girls get raped in fraternities? And I first of all, I didn't mention that women should go to fraternities and get raped,
right,
or that because sexual violence happens in colleges, that somehow cancels out sexual violence in the military. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't think sexual violence is okay at all. So I don't think that's an excuse. And once she said that comment, the whole room pretty much lit up and laughing, clapping, foot stomping. We were being videotaped at that time by one of the recruiters. And I would say within 5 minutes, we were actually told to leave the classroom.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. So what is interesting to me is that there was nobody from the school district there at all, right?
There were no school administrators or representatives present at all.
At the school?
None.
And how about the thing, Angie, we talked about, was that you guys had to sign in.
We did sign into the visitor's log, and I noticed that I didn't see enough names for that day, mm-hmm, that would represent the overstaffed, profuse amount of recruiters that were there to staff a few tables. There were probably 10, mm-hmm, of them, approximately. And I don't think that they signed into the visitor's log. I think they were able to bypass that somehow, which would allow anybody from anywhere to go get a military uniform from Andy and Bax or something like that and go walk around the school, because they were, some of them were wandering around the hallways a bit, and that's illegal.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about. It is illegal. They got to go in there, they got to stay in that room, and that's what they have to do. But you were saying last time we talked that they were out in the hallways walking around.
Yes.
And how many of the recruiters were women?
One.
One woman recruiter.
She was the one in the hallways.
She was the one walking in the hallways. And so there was the Army, the Navy,
the Army National Guard. And the Marines.
And the Marine Corps. And who did most of the talking?
Probably the Army and the Marines
did most of the talking
because they represented most of the people there. Also the Army National Guard.
Mm-hmm. And that woman, do you remember her name? The PR lady?
I have the letter from her. I don't remember her name.
Mm-hmm. Talk about that letter. That is interesting.
Well, after this happened, and I wrote a statement, which I gave to Veterans for Peace, Chapter, mm-hmm, 72 here. That statement is also on the national website right now. And that statement got to her because the Veterans for Peace Chapter 72 and also the former president of Veterans for Peace here wrote letters to the main Army recruiting commander.
Mm-hmm.
And the only response that we've gotten back so far was from this woman who made this comment. And basically she said that Jeff and I were rude to them, that no, they shouldn't have had a big flat screen TV in the room, which I agree with. And it was basically the Marines' fault, and they were the instigators.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it, too. I know they got a lot of phone calls, I'm telling you. They did. And the colonel, I can't remember his name here. I got it somewhere. This colonel guy, and we'll give these phone numbers out in a little while. Colonel Ryder. And he was saying that a lot of the things that they did were wrong and that they were going to, you know, change things. But I want to get back to especially the rudeness that they did to you guys. And also, Jeff, we were talking about what this sergeant, was he a sergeant?
Mm-hmm.
Tell him what this guy did to you.
Well, after Angie was interrupted, I believe the rest of the room, the rest of the recruiters kind of saw that as open territory to start putting in their own comments. And after Angie's tried to actually have some kind of a conversation with this woman, and the rest of the room decided to chip in, there was just nothing but commotion going on throughout the room. And so the sergeant, who was kind of off to my left, he took about 2 steps towards me with his hand raised in the air, almost like he was kind of, you know, the judge in the room or whatever, and basically said, well, you guys are clearly only here to be argumentative, so you need to go ahead and take a seat. And there was still commotion going on, and it was really just going on kind of between me and him at that point. And I told him that, as a matter of fact, he doesn't actually have any authority in the room, right, and that we're there legally, and that if anything, he needed to please take his seat so we could finish our presentation. So, yeah.
He also said that it was our time was up and that we had to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he actually said you had to leave.
Yes, yeah. He said your time is up and you need to get out. Huh. So that is pretty much when we left. There was no reason to stand there and argue in front of kids who none of us were qualified to be monitoring these minors. I don't know why there were no school officials there. There should have been. And also, I'd like to point out that we were invited by the school to be there.
Talk about that. Talk about the equal access. You know more about it.
So equal access was passed unanimously by the Portland Public School District. There were no objections to this back in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of that is to allow recruiters and also counter-recruiters, mostly including veterans, the same amount of time to present to students.
Right.
And it's really important because a lot of the information that military recruiters give to the students that I even witnessed this time does not apply to the students at all.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
A lot of special forces videos are shown. Two out of the four students there were females, so they can never do these jobs anyway. And special forces jobs are almost never done on your first enlistment anyway.
Right.
So a lot of these videos don't apply, and so we're there legally. It is a mandate, right, that we're supposed to be able to get the same amount of time to talk to the students, and we don't have some kind of agenda here besides letting the students know more about their contracts, letting them know more about the realities of the military. And we're not getting paid to do this. We're volunteering our time.
Yeah, that's true. See, one of the problems that we had, like we were talking, we had them out, the recruiters out of the schools for 8 years. We had them out of the schools for 8 years. And we, John Grushow and Dan Handelman and Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, Veterans for Peace, all of us worked hard and we got them out. We got them out on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But that's not what we wanted. We wanted to get them out because it's wrong, you know. The war's wrong, and these guys shouldn't be in there talking to these kids. But we got them out through Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And the way they got around that is they passed that law, No Child Left Behind. And when they did the No Child Left Behind, then they just went completely crazy and went back in the school district. And so we were having a problem with them. They said, well, you know, equal access and this. And we said, well, here's what you're saying. You're saying the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, the National Guard, then everybody else. We said, that's not fair. You know, they're getting to come in 6-7 times, and we get to come in once. And so we said we want to do Army, Peace Group, Navy, Peace Group, and that. And we really didn't hear anything back about that for a long time. But the program was that they were supposed to go into one room, and the room was supposed to be, I think it was supposed to be the counseling room. They were supposed to stay in that room. They weren't supposed to be out in the halls. They were supposed to sign in and sign out. And they did nothing like that for you guys. Nothing. They just kind of... You were talking about that somebody said that, what was it, Angie? You were saying that they didn't have people to run the program. What were you, I think you said something about.
Well, at Cleveland High School,
Cleveland, yeah.
Most of the high schools have a counselor that's responsible for these meetings,
mm-hmm,
to happen correctly. And at Cleveland High School, it's my understanding through John that they only had volunteer parents putting this together. So they didn't have anybody that had enough authority or time or know-how or whatever the case to make this run smoothly. So it was a free-for-all.
Mm.
There was no oversight. There was no moderator. Not even a parent volunteer or anything. Nobody was there. It was the recruiters, the counter-recruiters, and most of the time throughout the class, there were four students.
And the PR lady.
And this PR lady who apparently thinks rape is okay in the military.
Oh, man, that is so horrible. When you first walked in and saw these folks, is this the first time you've did a school talk?
No, I've been doing this since about November.
Oh, since November?
Mm-hmm.
But was it the first time that you guys were there with that many recruiters? Before that, did you ever have recruiters and then you guys at the same time?
Yeah, we've had, there's been multiple times where we've all been in the same room together, but they didn't have a video screen with stuff playing. They didn't pick kids out of class. They just let the kids who were walking by in the hallways come in, kind of poke their heads in. And there was not nearly as many gifts. There's like a $5 limit on the gifts that you're allowed to give the kids.
Oh.
And they were running with t-shirts, hats, water bottles, all kinds of stuff, which is completely against the rules.
Yeah, yeah.
They have been reported for doing that. And then there was another instance last time that I did counter-recruiting tabling, one of our volunteers had a bumper sticker slapped on the back of her car. One of the Marines had slapped a bumper sticker on the back of her car during the event, and then she came out to find it on her car and had to peel it off.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah.
That's something new. That is something new. Because we've had them, like we were out at, I can't remember, Madison maybe one time, and we were sitting there. Recruiters are on one side of the room, and we were on the other side. And they just came across the room and said, "What are you guys talking about?" And we just told them what we were doing there, you know? And I think it was Rico. And Rico said, if you guys weren't doing what you're doing, we wouldn't have to be here, you know? And they were just flat-out lying to these kids. Just flat-out lying to these kids. And it seems like that's what they're doing to you. What was happening in this? Angie, you had some stuff you wanted to talk about. You showed me your list this morning.
Well, I wanted to give some recommendations about what anybody who cares about this can do. Mm-hmm. About this, because it's really important that this never happens again for anybody else. It was really illegal, and I'm really embarrassed for the students having to witness this commotion and basically a bunch of garbage that happened. And I don't ever want the students to be put through that again.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly, I want every time to completely be sure that there's going to be a moderator or a school staff or faculty in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the recruiters should be allowed to bring in big flat screen TVs.
I think they've made that decision. They're not going to let that happen
again.
Well,
they should remember that.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to mention a few things that people can do that would be extremely helpful.
Go ahead.
Very, very helpful. If somebody wanted to make an online petition telling the recruiters to apologize to Jeff and I, the school, and the students.
Yeah.
That would be great. We really deserve an apology. I'd like to note that when the recruiters were doing their presentation for the majority of the class, Jeff and I were silent. We didn't mock them. We didn't videotape them. We didn't scuff at them, clap at them, laugh at them, or anything. Mm. We were quiet and respectful. As soon as we got up to talk, the whole room exploded into a frenzy. So I think that we deserve an apology for that.
I think so.
Also to the students, because they are really embarrassing themselves.
Yeah.
If somebody would want to write a letter to the school board, that would be helpful.
See, that's one I think that's really important, is the school board, Angie.
a letter to the principal of Cleveland High School.
Mm-hmm. It's his responsibility, too.
And if anybody wanted to write to any local paper,
mm-hmm.
that would be also very helpful.
Yeah.
Any of those things we would be very grateful for, because we're doing the best we can to try to make sure that this doesn't happen to anybody else. But we only have so much time. I work full time. And it would be great if somebody could help out. A lot of people already are. But
yeah, there's a lot of people who have contacted us. Yeah. I've given him John's phone number and his stuff. But I'm going to – the superintendent, that's another person. The superintendent, her name's Carol Smith, and she's – overall, it's her responsibility. And if you folks want to call, you can call her at 503-916-3304. And that's the superintendent. Her name's Carol Smith. And you can probably get the name of the school board, too, from her, from that number. And the other one is the principal. His name is Paul Cook, and his number is 503-916-5120. And that's the guy I'm really angry. I mean, I'm angry at the military for what they did to you, and which was completely wrong. But I'm that principal, it's his responsibility. And then the recruiting battalion commander, his name is, well, he's a lieutenant colonel. That's not his name. Lieutenant Colonel Brian Ryder. And his number is 503-256-1431 or 503-256-1443. And you can get a hold of it. And these are the folks that are responsible. Was these people right here. And that that colonel, one of our guys called him, and he said that the colonel, as soon as he picked the phone up, Gary introduced himself, and this guy just started talking, you know. And he did say that there'd been a lot of mistakes made. And that I think Gary said one of the things that they knew was wrong was that TV screen, but he just kept talking and talking and talking and apologizing. But you know, he can talk all he wants. It's the action, you know. We was in the military. We know how that's going on. And they have to take responsibility. And they were wrong. They were wrong what they did to you guys.
When it comes down to it, they haven't responded to any of the letters.
Just that lady did, but she didn't say much.
Just the lady. She blamed it on the Marines.
All of them have blamed it on the Marines. Seriously. They all blamed it on the Marines. So that's kind of... But how can they get in contact with you guys? I don't...
Sure.
Okay, why don't you give them a number? Do you have how they can contact you?
How?
Or you want them to contact through me and I contact you? How do you want to do that?
My phone number?
No, I don't want to do that.
Oh.
Give them the phone number. So if they want to contact me at our number, we can give you the number.
Sure, that will work.
Okay. If you want to talk to these folks, you can email me at nwvp. At teleport, teleport.com, and just email me and let me know. Give me a number or email address and something, and I'll give it to Angie, and you can deal with that. And I think it's so. And the more pressure we put on these folks, the more we can get this thing taken care of. Because I don't think they should be in the schools at all. I don't know about you two, but I don't think they should be in the schools.
Well, there's actually some talk, and there's a lot of talk now with physicians who are saying that they don't think that recruiters should be in the schools at all because these kids' brains are not developed well enough to be able to make good decisions about things. They don't understand consequences of things. And I know I didn't when I was 18 years old. I didn't know what I was doing when I was 18. So.
And there's no oversight to what these guys are telling the kids.
There was no oversight. There was nobody there.
Nope.
There was no oversight. Yeah, because I got drafted, so I don't know. But you know, I have a real problem with that. What they did. Could you please? We can't do that. Somebody wants you to talk about what happened real fast, exactly that day.
Okay, like a
recap.
A recap. Jeff and I go to Cleveland High School, and when I enter the room, there are booths set up around the room. The Army National Guard, the Marines, and the Navy. And on every booth, it's your typical booth with merchandise. There's a flat screen TV in the middle of the room in which they're playing recruiting videos, non-applicable to what most of these kids would actually be doing anyway.
Yep.
And so Jeff and I waited at the back of the class. We sat in chairs and waited for approximately, would you say, 30 minutes?
Just about, yeah. Just about.
Okay. I think that's about right. It was over half the class period. And so then there was a lull or a dull moment in the class, and Jeff and I had whispered to each other, hey, do you think we should just go up there? And and Jeff, you said, yeah, I think it's probably the best thing, right? And so we walked up there, and...
We did about a minute and a half introductions each, telling what our experiences were from the past, and then... That was, we were about 3 minutes in, and then I had chosen the topic of talking to them about the rising number of veteran suicides, and Angie wanted to talk to them about the number of sexual assaults.
Mm-hmm.
And I started my conversation and then switched it over to Angie, and she was maybe about 30 seconds into talking when a liaison between the military and the schools interrupted Angie, asking her whether or not or how many sexual assaults there were in college dormitories. And it completely threw Angie off because we're not used to being interrupted during our presentations. And so while she was trying to get her footing again, everybody saw it as open opportunity to basically verbally start heckling us and making noise and stomping their feet. And then an E5 sergeant who was off to my left took two steps towards me and told me basically that we needed to take our seats. And I told him that he didn't have any authority in the room, and mm-hmm. Angie was trying to reply to everybody barraging her with information while I was trying to speak to the students.
Okay.
And then, this E5 who originally approached me basically said, well, at this point, you guys need to get out of here. We left.
We were about five or six minutes out.
And ran out.
We were ran out of the room. We were being videotaped the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any way we could get a hold of that videotape, I would love that. That would just prove everything we're saying to be correct.
Yeah, I believe you, and I think everybody else believes you. If anybody wants to get in contact with these folks, contact me at that email address, nwvp@teleport.com, and I'll get it to Angie. I want to say one thing before we leave. A good friend of ours, George Silver, died. George was a Vietnam veteran, and he was a Ranger in Vietnam. He was a long-time veterans peace activist, and he's been sick for quite a while, and George has passed away. And so, you know, we want to give our best to his family. George is a great guy, and sorry to hear that he's passed away. And so I'll be back at 9 a.m. on April 18th on Veterans Voice radio show here on KBOO 90.7. And I want to thank you two for coming down. I know it's only a half hour, but we could have talked a lot more long. But I think you got it out, what needed to be said. And please, everybody, call those numbers and, you know, tell them what you think about that what they did to these two veterans was wrong, and they should never have done that. And so, Tammy, we'll see you on the 18th, and there it is.
Up next on Political Perspectives, we'll hear from Jonah Minkoff-Zern as he speaks with Kathleen Stevenson. He's from the Democracy is for People campaign, and they'll be talking about today's Supreme Court ruling striking down limits on overall campaign contributions.
Hola. And good morning. Welcome to Political Perspectives Part 2. I'm Kathleen Stevenson, and on the line with us is Jonah Minkoff Zern of Public Citizen. He's a senior organizer for the Democracy is for People campaign. And today we're talking about the Supreme Court decision today, taking another step toward giving wealthy donors more freedom to influence federal elections. And Jonah, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're with the Democracy is for People campaign. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. Well, we're even more urgently working to get big money out of politics, to work for a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United, and now a constitutional amendment also to overturn McCutcheon. We think that democracy should not be bought and sold, and clearly the Supreme Court doesn't agree with us.
Can you summarize the case of McCutcheon versus FEC?
Sure. So McCutcheon is a wealthy, dirty energy profiteer who felt that giving $123,000 to influence candidates and to support their election, twice the median income in the United States, wasn't enough for him. So he wanted to give more money to buy his politicians, and he took the issue to the Supreme Court. And while the Supreme Court is denying rights, or allowing voting rights to be undermined, they felt it was important that the ultra wealthy be able to give even more money to buy elected offices. So now McCutcheon, instead of being limited to $123,000, can write a check for $5.9 million, and that money would be distributed amongst candidates and that he wants to support for election.
And why $5.9 million? I don't understand that particular cap.
Sure. So the number, the court didn't actually strike down individual campaign contribution limits today. So there's still ostensibly a limit of $10,000 per candidate. 5.9 is a compilation of all the different candidates for House and Senate, plus all the different committees. So if he were to give $10,000 to all of those different entities, that would equal $5.9 million. So the Supreme Court may try to say that, well, that's so you can still only give $10,000 per individual. But what happens is this money gets distributed amongst candidates, and then candidates who are non-competitive races give the money back into a central pot. So essentially, someone like McCutcheon, who wants to give $5.9 million, is giving money to a very small group of candidates that he wants to support. And what it means, what it comes down to, is this extremely small group of individuals who can afford to give $5.9 million to elections are going to have an extraordinary amount of power over our political machinery in this country, and really determine the direction of this nation.
And since they're extremely small, do we know who they are?
It's a very small number of people, and I don't have the number in front of me, but they who are able to give that amount. But if we think about how much $5.9 million is compared to what I give, you know, if I support a candidate, I can give maybe $20 or $40, and just how profoundly small my $20 or $40 contribution feels like when someone's giving $5.9 million. There's no longer a pretense of a true democracy when these small group of individuals have so much power.
And would the Koch brothers be examples of people that are in this group?
The Koch brothers are, and they unfortunately are organizing the other people who are in that group. So the New York Times put out a report around the government shutdown and showed how it was a small group of extremely wealthy donors who intentionally orchestrated the government shutdown. And they're just learning how to use this amazing amount of power that they had under Citizens United to give to quote-unquote independent expenditures. So now the court feels like it's not even you don't even have to go as far as giving to an outside source. You can give all this money directly to candidates. And from what the court's saying, that's not going to corrupt our democracy. I just can't see how, if someone's giving $5.9 million, they don't get a direct line into their governor, into their congressperson, when the rest of us don't. And that's not democracy. If their voice is heard so much more than your or my voice is.
Maybe, Jonah, we could talk about Citizens United for a few minutes and just review how what that said and then sort of what how it has affected things and then talk about this decision and how it relates to that. Can you talk a little bit about what Citizens United allowed?
Sure. Well, Citizens United allowed independent expenditures that were unlimited. So if a corporation, and it was focused on corporations and unions, so it said that if a corporation or union wanted to give unlimited amounts to a super PAC or a 501c4 to influence elections, and through 501c4s they can give it secretly, then the government couldn't regulate that. So because of that, millions upon billions of dollars actually has come into our elections in these independent expenditures. So that's what Citizens United did. And the court says, well, look, it's independent of a candidate, so it's not actually corrupting that candidate. The average American, and when people are polled, about 80% of people say that that's not rational. That will corrupt our democracy. It is corrupting our democracy, and it's clear to anyone that just thinking about it that that's not an okay way to run a government. But the court took things a step further today, and today was about individuals. And today it said, basically, an individual can give unlimited amounts. I mean, $5.9 million might be restrictive to a few people like the Koch brothers, but not very many. And it just it means that my $20 or $40 contribution just is it doesn't mean anything. It drowns out my voice. It drowns out your voice, and it drowns out most people's voices.
And I read that it was possible that the court would have, there were three possible choices.